Hello and welcome back to the show. My name is Dr. Oscar Dukhan, and this is a show all about Ayurveda called Ayurveda, the Science of Life. I have been a family doctor for 30 years and I've changed my career to work as an Ayurvedic practitioner after 3 years of study with the Ayurvedic Institute UK in London. I work as an Ayurvedic practitioner now in Belfast and I'm also an NHS accredited health and wellness coach. I'm passionate about the role of Ayurveda and the role it can play in improving people's health through tailored digestive nutrition advice and lifestyle modifications. Also, teaching Ayurveda through educational workshops in local community groups. My desire is to help people learn about a system of medicine which I believe can empower them to take control of their health. The key to better health is self-awareness of our body and mind, the factors that can cause us to become imbalanced and unwell. This is what I feel Ayurveda teaches us more effectively than any other system of medicine I know. Ayurveda is the original lifestyle medicine and gives us a greater understanding of how we can achieve our best health to prevent illness and disease. In last week's show, I covered the basic principles of Ayurveda and how they relate to the five elements and the three doshas that make us up. Briefly, that we are made up of three different doshas in different combinations. The Vata dosha, which comprises the wind, and the wind dosha, which is made up of air and space. The Pitta dosha, which is made up of fire and water. And the Kapha dosha, which is made up of earth and water. And each of these different combination of elements expressed as doshas have different effects upon us. We are all made up of a unique combination of these three doshas, and this is what underpins the whole teachings and practice of Ayurveda. Now, in this episode, what I'm going to do is I'm going to discuss the importance of the use of spices in Ayurveda, and this is a very important topic in Ayurveda. Ayurveda, as I explained before, is one of the oldest systems of medicine still in use today. The aim of Ayurveda is the preservation of health and living into our later decades without disease and without illness as much as possible. And the way we do this is try and stay as close to our natural constitution and keep ourselves balanced in that respect. It teaches us the most important factor in staying healthy is having a healthy, nutrition, balanced diet suitable for our constitution for us to remain balanced. So, in this show, I want to focus on the importance of the uses of spices in Ayurveda. Ayurveda, as we know, is one of the oldest systems in medicine still in use today. The aim of this science is the preservation of health. Ayurveda teaches there are three important pillars for us to follow in order to be able to sustain health. And one of them is food, another one of them is sleep, and another one of them is called control of our senses, for us to lead a virtuous and spiritual life, so we get to understand ourselves. So in a sense, we're focusing on the health of our mind, and the third one. Quite practically, the most important one for us is the role of food and what it plays in our health. It teaches us that the most important factor in staying healthy is having a nutritious and balanced diet for our constitution. They've been studying and describing this for thousands of years, the components of diet, the role of diet in different diseases, the role of diet and digestion in maintaining our natural state and balance, and also the seasonal changes that we need to undergo in our diet from season to season. Now, one of the most important aspects of the role of food in Ayurveda is the use of herbs and spices in the preparation of food and also in herbal remedies. In this show, I'd like to introduce you to the colourful history of spices and the spice trade, and also how it relates particularly to Ayurveda. So initially, I'm going to discuss the history of spices and how they shaped the modern world, because I think it's of interest to see how we valued spices and herbs over many thousands of years in lots of different cultures and parts of the world. And then after that, I'll discuss the use of some common herbs and spices in Ayurveda and how they're used to help us maintain balance. But first, we need to look back. As you know, I'm a little bit of a history buff, and I always found the story of spice very interesting, and really was even more interesting than I thought when I looked into it. So I'll share some of the information I learned over the last few months with you about the history of spices. But first of all, we need to define a spice. As you know, I love definitions. So when I look for the definition, the easiest one to explain what a spice was, it's a term used commonly to describe any plant or part of a plant that can be used to flavor food. They've also been noted to have some medicinal or health benefits when either taken alone or with food. Examples would be cinnamon, which comes from the bark of a tree, pepper, which is the berry of the fruit of a flowering vine plant, saffron, which is the most expensive spice, which comes from the stigma, the tiny little bits inside a flower, and ginger and turmeric, which comes from the root of a plant. It often looks a bit like a root when you see it in the shops. It's all knobbly and firm. It can be confusing at times to know whether a plant is a herb or a spice. A lot of the aromatic seeds known as spices that look like little small seeds are gathered from the plants when they've finished flowering. A good example of this would be coriander, where we refer to the leaves of coriander before it flowers as a herb, and the dried seeds, which can be collected from the flower after it flowers or goes to seed, as a spice. They can have more or less similar benefits, so there'll be some effects, but there can be some small and minor difference between them. If we think of leaves as herbs and seeds as spices, it's a bit more helpful. So why were herbs and spices viewed with such importance and even veneration going back for many thousands of years in history? But both the herbs and spices were viewed as like we think of superfoods these days. It's the components of food, or the additive to food, that gives it its potency and its health benefit. So food doesn't have the same benefit unless it's taken with certain foods and spices, certain herbs and spices. Nowadays, as you know, we're bombarded by claims for different supplements and health superfoods and so on the internet and other media platforms. But many of these claims derive just from a simple ancient knowledge that certain herbs, spices, minerals, or foods have always been had a health benefit. And they simply just repackaged and reinvented these original products in a new and often more expensive form. The herbs and spices have a long history of both culinary use and are providing health benefits, as well as acting as preservatives to keep food from going off and other uses. So, to look back at the history of the spice trade, it's been going for thousands of years, back as long as Ayurveda has been a system of medicine. At 4,500 years, traders were traveling across the Arabian Sea from the west coast of India and further beyond to the Horn of Africa, which is the northeast of Africa, or countries like Somalia, Ethiopia, and Sudan now exist, and up into the Red Sea, up towards the Ethiopian, the Egyptians had their kingdoms. The Egyptian papyri back around 1,500 years before Christ have records which show the use of coriander, fennel, juniper, cumin, garlic, and thyme. Not all of these have been grown in that area. Even the king Tutankhamun had garlic cloves in his tomb. The Egyptians worshipped garlic as a herb. Now, in ancient Rome, it seemed to be herbs are more dominant than spices. However, Hippocrates had a list of 300 different remedies that included a cinnamon, a garlic, and rosemary, which he was able to find locally. He is regarded as the father of medicine, and his most famous quote could be taken from the Ayurvedic text itself. He was quoted as saying, "Let food be a medicine, and medicine be a food." So, mint was also highly valued for its positive effect on the digestive system. And licorice was used as a sweet, but also had an anti-inflammatory action and used for asthma and chest problems and mouth ulcers. One of the other famous Greek physicians who published a monograph or a text that was called Dioscorides, and he was alive around the first century after Christ. He was famed as a botanist and a pharmacologist and surgeon, as well as a physician. And he, in this text, described over 600 herbs, how to choose them, how to store them, and what uses they could be used for, and the different health benefits they had. This reference text was reused in Europe up until the 17th century. So, after the Greeks, with the decline of the Roman Empire, around the end of the 4th century, followed by the period we know as the Dark Ages, this knowledge of the use of spices and even the availability of spices went into decline. Thankfully, the Arabs and Arabic medicine, which developed around the same time from 500 AD onwards, preserved this knowledge of the health benefits of herbs and spices. They spread their culture to North Africa, to the Middle East, developing a very sophisticated style of cuisine with the use of many herbs from India and China, which they had obtained by the Silk Route. Even today, it's well known that Syria and Aleppo in particular, which was a medieval trading depot on the Silk Route, is regarded as having some of the most sophisticated cuisine in the Arab world, with the use of herbs and spices. Charlemagne, the famous emperor in the 9th century, was quoted as saying that a herb is a friend of physicians and the praise of cooks, which suggests that even despite all these changes, that we still had an awareness of the role of herbs and spices for flavouring and for their health benefits. Now, even in modern times, it's commonly acknowledged that the Mediterranean diets have been associated with a reduced incidence of chronic diseases such as heart disease and cancer, amongst others. Now, the diet studies are complex to compare, but it is fair to say that they do have a considerable amount of garlic, rosemary, basil, thyme, amongst other herbs in their cuisines, and they're influenced not only by the Mediterranean diets, but the types of cuisine that comes from the Middle East as well, particularly the further south you travel in the Mediterranean. So, given the long history of the use of herbs and spices, they may be considered one of the first superfoods, or the original natural health supplements that we have been able to access. So, in the next episode, I'll follow on, talk a little bit more about the role of spices and herbs. And particularly, I'll have a list of spices that I can run through to describe their benefits and how they're used in Ayurveda. So I'll see you very shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to part two. I realise there's been quite a story about the history of medicine, history of spices and their uses in different cultures, and I hope you found it interesting. I think it is important just to reflect that herbs and spices have been of great value and importance to us for thousands of years. They've been traded throughout the world, they've been regarded as very precious commodities, and their use is something that has stayed with us for thousands of years. In a sense, in Ayurveda, we think more of a spice cabinet than a medicine cabinet. So rather than rushing for tablets for medicines in the cabinet, we would try and encourage people to develop a practice where they have a range of different herbs and spices that they can use to treat some common ailments, so they get more familiar with benefits of spices for treating coughs and colds and digestive issues. So, as I'll explain later, there are several described medicine uses of spices in our daily life. Some we may be very familiar with, others less so. As I've said as well, spices and herbs have traditionally held great value in society. And we have gone to great lengths to procure them in the past, and we still do even today if we're using them in large amounts. We need to source them and find them and pay for them. Keep them fresh and use them regularly. So there is really important paying attention to how we find our spices and how we use them. So first off, if you had to think of a country associated with spices and herbs, which country would you choose? I think everybody's thinking of the same country, and it'd have to be India. Indeed, India accounts for 75% of the global spice production. Even I was surprised when I heard that. It's what drove Columbus across the Atlantic looking for spices from the east when the Silk Road was unavailable. So in the whole world, India is the most recognised country for the production of spices, and naturally they belong associated with the traditional medicine of Ayurveda. So it's not really surprising that India is a country that has a long history and familiarity with the use of spices. And Ayurveda reflects that in its tradition. So within the body of Ayurveda, the use of spices and the effects of spices have been recorded, both their physiological and their pharmacological properties. And this has been written down and recorded and reflected upon for thousands of years. So, of course, the Ayurvedic medicine has long promoted the health benefits of spices. And some examples would be the specific health actions they can have, particularly to remove toxins from the body. So some spices have a kind of a purgative or a laxative effect where they allow us to empty our gut or to help us empty our bowel. And cumin is a classic example of one of these. They can be used as an expectorant, which is something that helps us cough and get rid of excess mucus in our chest or in our sinuses and nasal passages. And a classic one we still use today for that is a combination of ginger, honey and lemon, mixed with some warm water, which has an expectorant effect and helps us get rid of nasty cough symptoms. Another effect is called a carminative effect, which is the effect that a substance will have when it prevents the formation or allows us to, prevents the formation of excess gas in our bowel or helps us expel it. And a commonly used herb for that is fennel. And of course, there is a herbs that have a diuretic effect, which help us go to pass urine more frequently and get rid of excess fluid, have a type of a detoxification effect, and coriander is a very commonly used herb in this respect. But the main function of spices in Ayurveda is to aid digestion. Generally, spices have a heating effect, so they're hot in nature. Says we think when we think of spices, we think of feeling hot or something that might make you sweat when you eat spicy food. So they heat you up from inside, which is a sign that they're increasing the power of your digestion. So in this respect, if we think of the doshas, pitta is the doshas associated with heat. And spices, if they increase your digestion, increase the heat in your body, they can make your pitta dosha more aggravated. Okay, and also if you remember, as we go through these different spices, we'll talk about their different tastes. And I discussed in the previous episodes about the six tastes, the sweet, salty, sour, pungent, bitter and astringent, and how the sweet, salty and sour make kapha worse, where the pungent, bitter and astringent will make the vata dosha worse, and where pitta is made worse by the salty, sour and pungent tastes. Now, spices also have an effect in enhancing the taste and flavour of food. So we often ask what's the best way to cook spices and how to maximise their effect, because you're spending a lot of money on them and you want to make sure you're using them efficiently and not wasting them. So in Ayurveda, it's recommended that when we cook our spices, that we've lightly fried them or sautéed them very on a low heat with a little ghee, which is clarified butter, or coconut oil, which are the favoured oils that we use in cooking in Ayurveda. It's always best to use fresh spices that are ground separately and then put into the frying pan. This process releases the aromatic oils, the compounds within the spices, which are help us absorb the food, and in turn makes it easier for us to digest and absorb the food from our gut into the first tissues and then so on to the other parts of the body. This is really crucial, as many spices have specific healing properties, and they're recognized to aid the transfer and the absorption of the broken down nutrients that come from the stomach. Okay, now when I mention ghee, maybe some people are not familiar with it, but ghee is used a lot in Ayurvedic cooking, and it's worth mentioning separately. Ghee is by definition clarified butter, so it's butter that has been, where the milk solids and any impurities have been removed by melting it. Okay, it's like a pure and adulterated form of butter which is designed for cooking with. It melts easily and has a high boiling point, which ensures the food is not burnt. So it's and it has a healthy fats within it as well, or saturated fats. It is available in different qualities in all supermarkets and in Asian food shops. Now, great care is taken in making the highest quality ghee in Ayurveda as to the timing of the processes used for this. It's a bit like the expensive virgin olive oil, first press olive oil, and how much care and attention is paid in countries like Italy, where they produce olive oil for these high value examples of the olive oil. So they can be added to soups or stews at the end of your cooking to give a little more unctuousness or richness to it, a bit like we add cream to in conventional French cooking, but they're less heavy in that respect and don't change the taste quite as much. Now, on a general note about spices, it's important, like I said before, that the fresher the spices, the better. A herb grinder is an essential piece of equipment in an Ayurvedic kitchen, as well as a pestle and mortar. So it's like coffee beans. If you grind them freshly, they're going to taste better. Like anything, the fresher the better with it. So fresh spices, if you use them regularly, you get more familiar with the different qualities of them, how they feel like, they smell like, how they fry, how they toast, and so on. So it's always better to use the fresh spices rather than the powdered version. The powdered version is drier, tends to have more adulterants in it. It's not maybe 100% exactly like the, it's certainly not the same quality as the fresh spices. If you think about the habit in restaurants where they give you a pepper grinder and they don't leave it on the table because it you're only allowed to use it or take a few twists of it and then give it back. This is harks back to the time when spices, particularly pepper, was so valuable and not to be wasted. So it's the same thing with your spices. If you learn how to become comfortable with buying them and preparing them and using them and storing them particularly, keep it in a proper container so that you're not wasting any and not losing any of the benefits of the good effects they have. And this brings me to the concept of the energy within food, particularly the energy within spices. And this in Ayurveda is called a prana. Now, prana is the Ayurvedic word for energy. And all foods have an energy. The fresher the food, the greater the energy. Anyone who has tasted homegrown vegetables versus shop vegetables can testify to this fact. But, and it also applies to spices. So when we grind our spices, the energy is released in the form of the essential oils, like the aromatic oils I mentioned, which are volatile in nature, and when they become in contact with the air, they can evaporate, and the prana disappears with that process. So the sooner you use them after grinding them, the better. So cooking the spices incorporates the oil flavors and prana into the dish, a bit like trapping the goodness of the spices within your cooking dish. So that's a brief little run through on my understanding of spices after a good bit of reading and a lot of practice. It does require a lot of thinking and dedication to being careful about how you buy your spices, how you store them, how you use them. It takes a little bit more time, but even the process of doing that is I won't say so much therapeutic, but it's rewarding, because at least you know who you're dealing with, and you can adjust and tweak the doses and learn about the effects and become more familiar with all the different herbs that we're going to list in this short presentation. So at last, we've got to the spices, and I bet you thought I'd never get that far. But I'm going to go through a number of different spices. Some you may be very familiar with, but hopefully most you will be. But you might learn about a few more, and certainly you learn about how Ayurveda views them and the different effects they can have, which you might have been so familiar with. Certainly, I have to admit I wasn't when I first learned about these spices. Now, coriander is the first spice. It's one of my favorite spices. It's one of the spices that's good for pitta. It's regarded as a cooling type of spice, even though it's described as a bitter and pungent type of taste. We're talking now about the seeds rather than the leaf. It has a drying effect, and it has a good diuretic detoxification effect as well, in the sense that a drink taken with coriander can cause you to have a diuresis, which makes you wee more, go to the toilet more. And it's often used as a remedy for people with pitta-related problems in the form of coriander water. It has an alkalizing and detoxing and a cooling effect when taken as a coriander water drink. It can be used ground up as a seed been ground or added as a leaf at the end of cooking. And quite often it's taken with yogurts in a raita type of preparation after a meal for the cooling effect that it can have to cool the digestion once the meal is finished. Black pepper, of course, is one of the most famous and commonly known spices. And this is a berry-like fruit that grows in a vine plant in India. And I was surprised when I saw how it grows. It grows just like a vine plant of a grapevine, and the berries form clusters on the vine and drop down, and they're picked when they're ready. And there's different forms of them, black, green, and white, depending on how they're processed. It has a lot of different uses. One use that I find very useful is adding it to the ginger, honey, and lemon hot water drink by adding a few little bits of fresh pepper into it, just to give it the extra heating effect, particularly in a cold morning. It's a very detoxifying and very rejuvenative type of effect it has on you. It's very pungent and very heat inducing. It's probably one of the most important spices we have in Ayurveda, along with ginger. It is known to have cleansing and antioxidant effects. Now, you may have heard about antioxidants, and I'm not sure exactly what they are. These are compounds that inhibit a process known as oxidation. Now, oxidation releases what's called free radicals, or small little atoms within or molecules with an unstable electron within their structure. And they're quite chemically reactive within the body, and they have been linked with the development of cancer and heart disease. So reducing the amount of these free radicals is a beneficial thing, and antioxidants do so by preventing this process that causes the release of these free radicals. So an antioxidant effect is a good thing to have in a compound or a herb. Naturally occurring antioxidants are vitamins A, C, and E. Adding black pepper to water, like I explained, has a stimulating effect on your digestion, as does adding ginger. So if your appetite's feeling a bit sluggish and you're feeling a bit not keen on eating, but you need to eat, it's something that you can take with a little bit of hot water to stimulate or get your digestion going. It has a stimulating effect upon the heart, and it promotes the circulation of blood as well. Because of the heat, pungent effect, it can break up mucus secretions in your respiratory tract and even in your digestive tract as well as in your sinuses. So taken as a drink or taken with food, it has a beneficial effect in that regard. And it's also well known as a carminative, which means it helps expel gas. So if you're having problems with your digestion being backed up and you're accumulating gas, using pepper or using more pepper can help eliminate that problem. So in that sense, in terms of the way it can release gas and air in the system, in the body, in the gut, it's beneficial for Vata, which is made up of the air space element. And Vata, people are a Vata imbalance, you can be prone to irregular digestion, bloating and constipation. So it's good for Vata. As it's quite warming, it can aggravate Pitta. People with a Pitta tendency or a Pitta imbalance. So not too many turns of the pepper grinder for these people to avoid that happening. So it's also good for Kapha people or a person with a Kapha imbalance who will exhibit signs of a sluggish or slowish digestion, because it kind of lights up the fire of digestion within Kapha people. So once again, the fresher you use the pepper, the better. So it's one of the spices that's very suitable for using just before you eat, just after you finish your cooking. So salt, of course, is the next most common herb that we have. Spice that we talked about. Salt is regarded as a spice. It's important because it's needed for our growth. It maintains our water and electrolyte balance as well. Now, this is really important because we need salt and potassium. They go hand in hand. We need it for our muscle contraction. And we also need salt to absorb water from our gut. So the absorption of water from our gut allows the large bowel, allows our feces, our stools, to be formed more solid so that we can eliminate more easily. I remember when I was in America working on the building site many years ago, and it was very hot and humid in Chicago, and I was so thirsty all of the time, and I was feeling weak, and I couldn't seem to get any energy. And the lads I was working with recommended me to get some Gatorade, which was like an electrolyte drink, which I'd never seen before. And it was absolutely incredible, the effect it had. A glass or two of it, and your energy just came straight back. So it was the electrolytes that were the salt that was in the drink that was giving me that effect, so I wasn't becoming dehydrated with heat. Salt also has a cleansing action on the body. I think salt water baths, the had popular salt baths are all over the world. And it's very important for your digestion and elimination because it helps form the stool. It'll have an effect on the doshas, of course, if you remember the tastes, in the sense that salt will make kapha worse, but it will make vata better. But also too much salt can make pitta worse, because pitta doesn't like too much salt in its diet, and it causes a pitta imbalance if you take too much of it, which I agree is hard to do with salt, but it's something to bear in mind. So because it draws water out of the gut, it increases the moisture within the body, which helps the overall dryness we can have with the Vata dosha. So with Kapha, of course, it retaining the water has the opposite effect from Kapha by making it worse. So I know this is maybe confusing, but with repetition, you'll understand the different doshas and how they can be affected by different tastes and by different qualities. Salt is noted to have a particularly good effect on sharpening your taste for foods, and also within the channels of the body where the nutrients are passing, in the blood and the plasma, if they can clear the channels having salt, where they kind of have a clean cleansing effect within the body, within the channels. Now, ginger. I couldn't leave a presentation like this without talking about ginger, because ginger is really probably the king of spices, along with pepper. It's important to know the difference between the fresh and the dry. The fresh is the root you get in the supermarket, which you slice, and this is less heating than the powder, which is drier, which is more heating. And because ginger is a heating type of spice anyway, it's less heating when you use it fresh. And it's also best to use fresh. It has a wonderful stimulating effect on the digestion. Often it's used in detoxification regimes to get the digestion going to help with weight loss. It's used in the ginger, honey and lemon drink I mentioned earlier on for coughs and colds and for cleansing. It has an anti-inflammatory and a pain-relieving action. As to the doses, it can reduce vata and kapha, but it can increase pitta. So you must be careful with people who have a pitta tendency or a pitta imbalance. Too much ginger can cause pitta-like problems with the skin and even with hyperacidity and reflux and even as far as having problems with hemorrhoids. It also has an anti-inflammatory action, so it can react with certain medications if taken too much of, like ibuprofen, aspirin. And it's very, very pungent, so it can help in clearing coughs as well. Now fenugreek is a herb you may not be familiar with. Fenugreek has a bitter and pungent cooling action. So these are kind of slightly contradictory, but they're interesting types of qualities or the taste that it displays. It specifically acts on the kidneys and the lower half of the body and the colon by enhancing digestion. It's very, very good for conditions caused by cold and damp. So, for instance, cough and chest and sinus problems. It can balance or reduce kapha dosha. So if there's too much kapha, too much moistness, too much dampness, too much cold in the system, it's very good to reverse that. Remember we said opposites balance and like increases like. So it's the same concept. So that's fenugreek. It also has a added to cooking. It has a beneficial effect to prevent against diabetes. A turmeric is a very popular one these days. Its tastes are astringent, bitter, and of course, like a lot of these herbs, it's pungent or heating. It's a hot spice as well, and it's very good for balancing kapha. It can improve the quality of pitta, but it can worsen vata because of the drying quality it has. So it's in the news a lot because of its anti-inflammatory actions, and it helps people with pains in the joints and types of arthritis, and also with muscle and tendon pains. Be careful with people with anticoagulants because it has an effect upon slowing blood clotting. So it can interact with people who are taking blood thinners. It has an overall effect of increasing blood flow, of detoxification for the liver and the blood. It's used as an immunity booster, and it's also excellent for any skin tissues, any skin infections. The active ingredient of turmeric is called curcumin, and it's been recognized to have anti-cancer cell activities. So there's great interest in turmeric as a kind of a wonder spice. However, we have to be aware it doesn't work for everything, and it can have harmful effects if taken in excess, or if you have a particular imbalance which is related to pitta particularly. Okay. Now, cardamom is another one of the spices that is helpful for pitta, and also for the other two doshas as well. It is more a sweet type of taste and slightly pungent. Very good for all-round digestive problems and for bloating and gas. For instance, any things to do with the upper gut area where you get burping and vomiting. It's often added to desserts and rich kind of puddings to cut through the heaviness or the stickiness of the puddings and sweets. You can make a version of chai or Indian masala tea by brewing it in hot water and tea leaves along with ginger, nutmeg, cinnamon and cloves. And this is often pre-made as a kind of a spice mix to add to tea.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Next up is cinnamon. Now, cinnamon is not everybody's favourite, I find, but I think that's mainly because it's overused in desserts. It's very popular in the US, cinnamon buns, cinnamon rolls, pumpkin pie with cinnamon and all that. I think a lot of, if when it's used together with other spices, it really does come to the fore, and it's always best used fresh, as a fresh bar and ground up. It has quite interesting qualities in terms of taste. It's regarded as sweet, but also heating and pungent, whereas most sweet tastes have a cooling effect. And it also has some bitter tones as well, probably coming from the bark. So it's not a typical combination, so it is a very interesting herb to use along with other herbs. It is noted to have the same kind of transport effect as some herbs, where it helps bring the nutrients to the tissues. It's very good for a cough as well and for balancing vata because of the sweet and the heating effect. Less so for pitta because it is heating, but not a super hot spice, but just a heating or a warming type of spice. Think of it in mulled wine, for instance, when you add cinnamon to the drink. It's also used as well in creamy desserts, partly to the pungent effects can counter the sweet effect and the sticky quality. It's a very aromatic smell, and it's typical if you smell it running into your nose, you'll think you're in India. But it's also used in many other cuisines or across the Middle East, particularly. Next is clove, which is, which I alluded to, mulled wine. It's the same thing. You associate it with warming, and warming you right down to your fingertips and toes. It enhances digestion via this warming kind of circulation, increased circulation effect. But it's good for all the gut tissues and gut issues, for instance, like gas and bloating and nausea. Cloves have long been used to promote oral hygiene in toothpaste and oils, and it's a very old and effective remedy for toothache. Its effect on the doshas are it pacifies or reduces the vata and the kapha and increases the pitta, like a lot of the herbs do, a lot of the spices do. And it's quite often used in curries like chicken biryani. You can often be picking cloves out of your rice and stuff like that with traditional Indian dishes. Now, cumin. If we left this talk without talking about cumin, I would probably never get another show again, because cumin is the most famous of all digestive spices. It's pungent and bitter. Cumin in Sanskrit, the word is even older, I'm sure, than used in other cuisines as well. It means jira, which is the Sanskrit word for digestion. So it's critically important to digestion. It's a pungent and warming spice. It's not heating. It enhances digestion as it stimulates blood flow to the stomach. It also aids the contraction of what's called the peristalsis of the gut, which we need to move our food downwards for it to be eliminated. It's also got an effect as a blood purifier, and it's excellent on for the skin, for skin issues. The bitter quality allows channels within the body to be opened up so they don't become sludged. If you think of the bitter quality allows things to keep moving, to keep them cleansed. So we need a little bitterness in our spices, in our foods, which is a taste we're often missing these days. It has an overall drying effect, so it's really good for kapha and for the time of needing a kind of a spring cleanse if we're accumulating too much moisture in our system from either the weather, from our foods, from the time of the year, whatever time of the year and season. So it's an excellent demoisturizer, if you think about it, or dehumidifier. It's also good in treating diarrhea by the same action, in the sense it reduces, takes the moisture out of the gut. It's a mild diuretic as well, can have help with weight loss. You've got to be careful with people who have a sensitive digestion or a very strong pitta imbalance because of the effect it has upon your digestion. It can make things a little bit worse if you're not careful. It can also be used in a type of drink remedy with cardamom, cumin and fennel mixed together with warm water. And like pepper, it's best bought as whole seeds and then grinded rather than used as a dry powder. Lastly, there are several more I could talk about, but lastly, so you don't suffer from spice exhaustion, I'll talk about fennel, because fennel is an excellent and wonderful spice to use in cooking and even after foods. It has a cooling spice again, of which there aren't very many, and its tastes that typified are sweet and bitter. So being a cooling spice, having the sweet and bitter taste is good for pitta. This is something to bear in mind when we're dealing with the pitta imbalance. It has an effect of calming the mind and increasing the clarity of thinking. It also has a diuretic and a detox action. They often go hand in hand. And it's really good for upper gut problems such as fullness, especially after a big heavy meal, burping or gas, and heartburn, reflux, nausea, these types of symptoms. I've taken with a glass of warm water, a few seeds of fennel are excellent. It has an effect also, like many herbs have, of clearing mucus and phlegm and helping with cough. It specifically has an antispasmodic, which is like an anti-cramping action, so it can be used for muscle spasms if they're very severe, or the cramps that are associated with menstrual pains or periods pains, or if women have problems, for instance, with endometriosis, where they get pains in their lower pelvis. So that's fennel. Fennel can be taken after a meal, as it promotes the digestion after a meal, so to speak, so that if you're feeling particularly full, chewing on fennel seeds can reduce that feeling of fullness because of the action that the fennel specifically has. So really, I hope that's taught you a little bit about spices, the history of spices, the different types of spices used in Ayurveda and all the different effects they have. I know it might seem a bit confusing when it's a list of spices with at times similar actions, but if you remember that most spices are pungent and they're heating, and they tend to increase your digestion, enhance your digestion, so they have that primary effect. You'll have a better understanding of how to use them. They're important because in order to enjoy our food, our digestion has to be working well. Anything that improves our digestion will help us absorb nutrients from the food so that it gets into our tissues and that we can reap the benefit from them when they're properly absorbed and they travel to the tissues that need them. Anything that hinders our digestion will have the opposite effect. So spices and herbs are crucial in how we digest and how we obtain a benefit from the food we eat, as well as having a benefit of their own and having specific effects of their own, which we need to understand. Okay, that's about it for today. I do apologize if it's been a bit long in this second section. I'll wrap up now with a quick reminder of the show and what I'm aiming to cover is to show people about Ayurveda, tell people about Ayurveda and how it can have a role and a meaning to them in their lives today. I hope you enjoy the show, both the content and my delivery, which is I hope getting a little better. Ayurveda for me is like a way of life and living, and it has a relevance and a resonance now more than ever in its 5,000 year history, particularly in the world we live in. We live in a challenging world, at times in a fast-paced world, just in a changing environment with increased demands on our time and our attention, which affects how we digest, how we eat our food. The world we live in is undergoing many changes, and not all of these are for the good. Our natural world and environments are also under threat, as never before, and our weather systems and climate as well. As we are closely connected to nature, even in a modern world, this causes stresses and strains on our natural constitution and ultimately on our health, even though we may not be aware of it. Ayurveda provides us a way, a toolkit, to manage these external factors through our diet and our digestion, our lifestyle habits and our routines. And in this show, I hope I've shown you the importance of spices and herbs, how they've been important for many, many years, and how they're crucial and central to how Ayurveda views digestion and how important your digestion, your diet is for your overall health and balance. Take care. I hope to see you and all again next week. Remember, Ayurveda is a way that we can take control of our own health and well-being to live a better, more fulfilled life, and ultimately a more conscious life where we can reflect on the reasons why we're here and everything else that's important in our life. Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com. And that's Anam, spelled A-N-A-M. As you know now, Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Croí full on, fod sail. Healthy heart, long life. God bless you.